Good morning. It was a gloomy morning. I'm glad you guys all decided to share it with us. Another announcement, there's a women's conference coming up in March. And right now you can register for early bird, so it's cheaper. And if you're a woman, I would encourage you to look into that. And then pray about it, because maybe you don't want to go, but maybe God wants you to go. Yes. What? That was totally autobiographical. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your truth. Help us hear your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6. And last time I talked about daily bread. So now we're up to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And guys, it's going to be a toughie. I'm just going to let you know. And instead of trespasses, maybe you say debts or sins, and that's fine. Because that's not the important word in this petition. Forgive is the important word here. Forgive means to cancel a debt. It means to pardon, to excuse an offense without exacting a penalty. It does not mean to condone. Do we understand that? Okay. I love how Jesus teaches us to pray. He teaches us to honor our Father and to ask for his will to be done, not just in our lives, but on earth, the whole world. And then we ask for our daily bread. We ask for his daily provision for ourselves and each other. And the forgiveness portion comes next. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And the bread that we ask for and the forgiveness we ask for are both things we need daily. If you remember nothing else from the sermon today, I want you to remember that. We need to ask for our daily bread and forgiveness daily. So in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is teaching us to pray, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us, it sounds like he is saying, God will forgive you as long as you forgive others. And the thing is, that is exactly what he is saying. And here's how well Jesus knows us. He finishes up the prayer, right? Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And just in case we were unsure about it, he continues in verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Out of the whole prayer, the only part he reiterates and clarifies is forgive us as we forgive others. He makes it crystal clear. If you remember nothing else about the sermon today, remember that Jesus said, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. And again, forgiveness does not condone sin, and forgiveness does not mean there are not consequences. This is a fallen world, and we are dealing with generations and generations of consequences. And none of us have the luxury of only dealing with our own. Now, as Christians, we know that Jesus' perfect sacrifice and resurrection is the only reason we have to be forgiven. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So because of Jesus, we now have God's grace, and there is not one single thing we can do to earn that grace. And God never takes it away as a punishment. It is the great equalizer. You on your best day and you on your worst day God's grace is the same. And he sees you through Jesus' sacrifice. And he judges you by that sacrifice. And his judgment for all of us is forgiveness. If you remember only one thing from the sermon today. As Christians, we love this. This is the very thing that makes us Christians. We love it so much. We put the symbol of the sacrifice, the cross, on jewelry and t-shirts and coffee cups and tattoos. We wear it on our bodies and we hang it on our walls. And we do this as a joyous reminder to ourselves that we are forgiven. And we do it so others know who we are. Wearing a cross is a kind of shorthand for I'm a believer. And there's nothing wrong with that. As Christians, we receive a forgiveness we cannot earn. And this means God gets all the glory for it, right? Amen? Amen. Thank you. We want everyone to know this good news. We want everyone to know about this forgiveness. Jesus even tells us, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So we do. We send missionaries to the edges of the earth to share the good news about forgiveness. But I think sometimes we get stuck on this default setting of forgiveness that we've gotten used to. We get used to taking our sins to the cross. And we get used to confessing our sins to God. I think that's when we forget the part about the other people. And may I have my slide? Yeah, other people. I think we even forget to forgive ourselves. Yeah. You know how they say if you can't love yourself, then you can't love other people? It sounds extreme, and I'm not a psychologist. But I think that that means if you have a damaged relationship with yourself, then any relationship you have with other people is going to filter through your damage. So the healthier you are with yourself, the healthier your relationships will be. If you don't love yourself, the love you have for other people will be an anemic and brittle love. It might even be a sick or warped version of love. And I can't help but wonder if forgiveness is like this too. If we are able to forgive ourselves, then the forgiveness we offer to other people will be a genuine forgiveness. And now we get to the hard part, forgiving the other people. Why are other people so frustrating? Why is it when we hear Jesus say, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses? Our gut reaction isn't like, oh, that's fair. I'll do that. Yeah, let's do that one. No, our gut reaction is more like, well, no way. There's got to be a loophole. And if you only remember one thing from the sermon today, I want you to remember there is no loophole. I think the reason we panic when we hear Jesus say that is because we know we are far from perfect, and we know we're going to fail at this. I would encourage you to stop trying to get out of it. Don't look for a loophole. Instead, work on forgiving people. But I know you. You're going to look for a loophole, and I know this because that's what I did. And the other day, someone said to me, well, if so-and-so doesn't ask for my forgiveness, then I don't have to forgive her. And I said, oh, is that what Jesus had said? Well, let's see what Jesus had said. In Matthew 18:15, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Ooh. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I say to you, Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So if someone sins against you, it's actually your responsibility to confront them about it if you want your pound of flesh. If you are unwilling to confront them, then that's on you. Forgive them and move on. You got to let it go. And I feel like I don't have to explain this, but let's talk about it for a minute. Like, if you know you've hurt someone, you need to go and apologize. Like, don't think that, like, well, they need to confront me or I'm gold. You know, I don't have to face it. Like, no, you know. So take care of your business. But I will say it again. If you are unwilling to confront the person you want an apology from, game over. Do not hold on to that unforgiveness. And I know that anger can feel good, right? It makes us feel powerful. But if your anger is contempt, then it is not good. And that power you feel will turn you inside out. You will become an unhealthy version of yourself. And God wants us whole. And that's why he wants us to forgive each other. If you are still looking for a loophole, there is not one. But don't feel bad, because even Peter looked for one. Matthew 18:21, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. And in Luke 17, Jesus says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. There is not a loophole. And if you're still looking for one, and it involves like, well, what if they sin against me like eight times a day or over 490 times? Well, did they ask for forgiveness? Yes, then forgive them. No, then confront them. It's really that basic. If you're still trying to think of maybe a scenario, right? Thinking about some what-if situations or like something hard. Like, let's not even talk about just insults or arguments, like something really hard. What about murderers and rapists and pedophiles? Well, for the record, when Jesus said, forgive others and your heavenly Father will forgive you, but if you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you, he does not follow it up with, and champion news, everyone, it's so easy to forgive, you'll never have a problem with it at all. No. Forgiveness is hard. Our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. When Cain killed Abel, God came to Cain and asked him where his brother was. And this was to give Cain a chance to confess, to say, oh Lord, I've done something terrible. But he did not confess. In fact, he lashed out at God, asking, what, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. So, when someone's life is violated so completely, God hears their blood cry out to him. And if you think God then turns to the victim's family, holding a stopwatch and tapping his foot impatiently, saying, you better hurry up and forgive this murderer before I decide not to forgive you ever again, then you have a very distorted view of our Heavenly Father. If you remember one thing from the sermon today, remember that God is not staring sternly at trauma victims while tapping his watch. Our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We will spend so much time and energy and anger and weak excuses trying to find a loophole, a way out of having to forgive other people, instead of just asking God to help us with the unforgiveness in our heart. So let's stop that right now. Let's stop making excuses and let's take responsibility and let's ask God for that help. And also, let's understand that this whole, if you don't forgive, the Father won't forgive you, this whole thing is not because the Father is mad at us. He's not mad because we screwed up so bad that he had to sacrifice his own son so that the least we can do is just try to get along with each other. God isn't petty like we are. He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he knows forgiveness is so good for us. The more we confess to him and ask him for forgiveness daily, the more our hearts change and the more capacity we have for forgiving others. But if we hold on to unforgiveness, it's like we are plugged into something dead. And it is feeding us anger and contempt, and it is poisoning us. If we hold unforgiveness in our heart, if we hold on to that grudge, that hurt, it doesn't hurt the other person nearly as much as it hurts us. Especially as that anger and contempt spills out of us onto our loved ones. It taints everything. God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to sever that toxic connection. And that's what forgiving others does. It severs that toxic connection so we can be free. And this freedom is what God wants for us. Because unforgiveness binds us, and it binds us to resentment, and it binds us to fear, and it binds us to insecurity. Unforgiveness binds us to our past, and it binds us to guilt and shame. Jesus died on the cross to free us from all of those things. So why would we look for a loophole from that? If you still think that you shouldn't have to forgive anyone who doesn't apologize or someone who doesn't apologize sincerely enough, and if you think you don't have to forgive murderers and terrorists and who else, old girlfriends and old boyfriends and ex-spouses, here's the thing. You can choose that. You can choose to keep score. But if you choose to keep score with yourself and other people, then you have chosen for God to keep score with you and him. And do I need to explain why that will not end well for you? If you remember one thing from the sermon today, the insult of ignoring Jesus' sacrifice on the cross because you don't want to forgive other people forces God to deal with you in the same way. Forgiving people who hurt you is not easy. I will never tell you that it is easy. And Jesus will never tell you that it is easy. But the good news is we are not required to do this on our own and with our own strength. In fact, I don't think we even could. So ask the Holy Spirit for all the help you need. The Holy Spirit is so ready to help you. God wants to help us with our unforgiveness. He wants to free us from those binds so we can live free and healthy lives in him daily. Every day. I can't tell you that enough. So let's let him. Let's let him work in us. Amen. Jesus, thank you for your perfect sacrifice. And Father, your grace is amazing. Will you forgive us for falling short of your glory? Thank you. Holy Spirit, we do not want to be bound by unforgiveness. We want to be God's free people. That is what we want to choose every day. Please help us. We cannot do it without you. We love you, God, and we trust you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.